said, hold me, hold me. Come to me and let me be your one and only. One and only. I can make it all right. Come on, hold my hand. Hold my hand. Baby, I promise. Hold my hand. Hold my hand. People do better get you down.
And good morning. Welcome to another episode of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. We are better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. Music, like poetry, has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend a definition. News can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora, and you will find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibration. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Good morning once again. Walter Pierce, our student host, presents his segment of Diamond on Jesse Jackson Sr. He will then define the word happiness for his definition segment. His musical curtain for the day will be on Akon. And of course, elders like myself will make comment and ask questions after each segment. So without any further ado, let me bring on our student host so he can take it away. First of all, I want to say good morning, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing well, and good morning to everybody else out there, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Now, it is time to get into diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Each person represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Now, look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. And my diamond for this week is no other than Jesse Jackson. And see, Jesse adopted the name of his stepfather, Charles Jackson, at about age 15. A good student in high school, Jesse was elected class president and later attended the University of Illinois on a football scholarship. Then he transferred to the predominantly black agricultural and technical college of North Carolina in Greensboro and received a bachelor's in sociology. He moved to Chicago in 1966, did graduate work at the Chicago Theological Seminary, and was ordained a Baptist minister in 1968. While an undergraduate, Jackson became involved in the civil rights movement. In 1965, he went to Selma, Alabama to march with Martin Luther King Jr. and became a worker in King's Southern Christian Leadership Conference, SCLC. Jackson helped find the Chicago branch of Operation Breadbasket, the economic arm of the SCLC in 1966, and served as the organization's national director from 1967 to 1971. He was in Memphis, Tennessee when King, the civil rights leader, was assassinated on April 4, 1968. Though his exact location at the moment King was shot has long been a matter of controversy, accused of using the SCLC for personal gain, Jackson was suspended by the organization, whereupon he formally resigned in 1971 and founded the Operation PUSH, People United to Save Humanity, a Chicago-based organization in which he advocated black self-help and achieved a broad audience for his liberal views. In 1984, he established the National Rainbow Coalition, which sought equal rights for African Americans, women, and all people. These two organizations merged to form the Rainbow PUSH Coalition. Jackson began traveling widely in the late 1970s to mediate or spotlight international problems and disputes. In 1979, he visited South Africa, where he spoke out against the apartheid and later journeyed to the strife-ridden Middle East and campaigned to give Palestinians their own state. While some observers and government officials frowned on his diplomatic missions and self-aggrandizing, Jackson nonetheless won praise for negotiating the release of U.S. soldiers and civilians around the world, including in Syria, Iraq, in 1990. In the 1980s, Jackson became a leading national spokesman and advocate for African Americans. His voter registration drive was a key factor in the election of Chicago's first African-American mayor, Arnold Washington, in April of 1983. The following year, Jackson ran for the Democratic presidential nomination. During his campaign, he drew criticism for his relationship with Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam and for making a disparaging remark about the New York Jewish community. Jackson later apologized for his comments and distanced himself from Farrakhan, in which there was the strongest showing ever by an African-American candidate. Jackson placed third in the primary voting. In 1988, he staged another bid for Democratic nomination and came to second to the party's eventual nominee. Jackson's increasing influence within the Democratic Party ensured that African-American issues were an important part of the platform. Jackson, a dynamic orator, made memorable speeches at later Democratic conventions, but declined to run again for the presidency. During the impeachment hearings of Clinton in 1998, Jackson counseled the president, and in 2000, Clinton awarded him with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That year, Jackson received a master's degree from the Chicago Theological Seminary. The following year, however, he became embroiled in controversy when it revealed that he had fathered a child and Jackson later continued his social activism, and he is still going on today and still progressing in today's society. And thank you again for listening to another edition of Diamond. And this is your student host, Walter Pierce.
Our panelist, Mr. Shelton Harris. Good morning, Mr. Harris. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. How's everything?
Very well. Very good. I just wanted to know if you had a comment or any kind of statement as it pertains to Walter's Diamond segment on Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr.
Yes. First, let me say that it was very informative. You know, I knew about Jesse Jackson's run for president. I kind of tried to be, I think I still have one of his buttons, Run Jesse Run. You know, and he's been a staple in the civil rights movement for most of his life. And Walter really kind of brought all the information that he had about him to light. You know, everybody is human. You know, they tried to get him with the affiliations with Farrakhan and talking about the issues with the Jewish community in New York. I remember that was major news at the time. You know, but he was very, very influential in helping a lot of our community look at politics in a different way. And I think that's very important.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good morning, Tanisha. How are you today? I just thought I'd bring you in and see if you had a comment on Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr.
How's everyone doing today? And I'm good. It just made me think about all the work that they put in and what we have to do, you know, within our generations that's already here for us to truly move forward and really dissect, you know, what was the difference, you know, between then and now, and how can we truly move forward and really, you know, prosper on the things that, you know, we truly seek within ourselves. And to really, you know, truly, truly make an impact and really start really changing things. That's what it makes me think about.
Okay. Thank you for your comment. Tamir Davis, good morning, and how are you today? I just thought I'd bring you
I'm
in
great,
and
sir.
See if you had a comment on Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr.
I respect a lot of the work that the civil rights leaders have done and the work that he's continuing to do. He's been in the fight for decades, and I respect the fight that that he has been doing over many, many years, and the fight continues. I know there's different dynamics of controversy, and most leaders have that, but other than that, I respect the work that he's doing, and I respect the work that he's continuing to do.
Okay. Thank you so much for your input and comment. Okay, at this time, I'd like to say you can call us at 973-692-6035, and you can actually leave a testimonial, which can be recorded, uploaded, and played live on the air. That number again is 973-692-6035. I'll give that number out again. But before I do, I'd like to bring Walter Pierce, our student host, back in and see if he can reflect on Jesse Jackson Sr. and maybe some of the comments, or just move on to your next segment. It's on you.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, thank everybody again for their input on Jesse Jackson. But it is 20 minutes into the show, and it's time to get into our next segment of today, which is definitions. And see, this segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we could achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for today is happiness. And, you know, happiness is just the state of being happy, of course. And, you know, the reason I bring up the word happiness is today is because I had a little bit of a talk with a couple people. And it was the debating the word of happiness and joy and see, like, well, my input was on happiness and joy is I believe that joy is something that is short term. But once you reach happiness, that is something that is permanent, and that's something that is more long-term and long-going. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, claim they're happy, but in all reality, it's just for a short period of time. And I believe, you know, happiness is a longing emotion, and being joyful, I believe, is the right term, you know, having short-term, a short period of when you're in a good mood, a lot of people. And people, I believe, especially today, you know, they see online, they see these different people who have these different things and are doing a whole lot of, you know, cool things that they see. And, you know, they believe that they're always happy. But in reality, you know, when you see these influencers online and showing all of these different things, the truth be told is some of them are really not that happy. They just show it in these, you know, these pictures. And other people are trying to have what they have. But in reality, you know, that's not what you should chase. You should chase internal happiness and being the best that you could be, you know. And, you know, that was just a problem I've seen, especially today with, like, social media, especially today. And, you know, I want to bring in the rest of y'all to this conversation as well and just give your input on happiness especially and why do you feel like people just chase happiness, you know, chase other people's happiness and don't chase their own happiness? Why do people want what everybody else has but not what they need to have, you know? And anybody could answer this question.
Okay, we're going to try to get everybody in on this one because I think that's a good question. Tamir Davis, our black librarian, what do you think about?
I think his question is very an appropriate question. I think that it's always important to live in the present moment, and in living in the present moment and keeping your attention on yourself, not to say that you shouldn't be selfless and helping others, but I think it's important to keep your attention on yourself so that you can actually have your own expectations. And not everything is for everybody, I believe. And so if somebody else is doing good things and they're happy, somebody else made billions of dollars and all, that's their plight. That's what they plan to do. I may just want to be a librarian. That's what I love to do. So everybody have their role to play in the universe. So I seek my happiness not more so on a monetary level, but more on a eudaimonistic level. That's my sense of pleasure. And I love being selfless and helping others, and that's what makes me happy, and I love it. So everybody has to find their own center and what makes them satisfied in life, you know. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We're going to go with Tanisha Gardner, and bring her back on. Good morning again. And comment, what do you think about happiness?
What I think about happiness, especially when it comes to social media, it's an illusion. Like you said, it's only one-sided. So you only see the happy moments, but you don't see the full moments of life. And that's where people, you know, get it misconstrued. And another thing, for happiness, you have to know thyself. Once you know thyself, you know who you are. You know what makes you tick. You know what makes you happy. You know what makes you sad. You know what makes you motivated. And by you working on those things, you're not going to be focused on other people, because you're going to be focused on making yourself better and knowing who you are, because there's so many elements to it, you know, especially with respect, honor, integrity, you know, those are the, you know, the key factors of being, knowing who you are and exuding it to other people.
Okay. Thank you so much. Mr. Harris, you know you're right in line, and you're definitely next. Good morning again, and Walter's question about happiness. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I personally think happiness as a term itself is really kind of an umbrella, because we don't know whether your purpose could be your happiness. Your passion could be your happiness. But some people just look for their pleasure and equate that to happiness. And it's kind of hard to, like, put it all into one little category. This is what makes me happy. And again, it's about what you feel about yourself, because my happiness might not be somebody else. And we have to try to, again, like Denisha was saying, we have to look into ourselves and find out what our real purpose and what's our real motivation for moving around, and then our happiness will be our destination.
Okay. And if I may, I just like to say, Walter, happiness is an inside game. You can't go through life chasing happiness and looking for it from outside. You have to be able to generate it, pretty much like everyone else has said, from within. And once you're able to grasp a level of contentment and cheerfulness and knowing the things that, you know, excite and make you happy, then you'll probably have more of a well-spent life. Walter, what do you think about the answers to your question?
Those were all great answers and different perspectives that, you know, that are always good for this type of conversation of happiness, because in all, the most important happiness is yourself, and that's what you should really be chasing and not what other people have, but what you want to be happy. And that's really all I have to say on that part.
Okay. Well, that's cool. We're going to musically keep it moving. You're tuned to Quest Community Vibrations live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. And welcome back. This is Quest Community Vibration. And now it's time for a different segment going in a different direction. Well, basically, it's these fables that I've been presenting every week. Well, you see, these fables are more than children's stories. They are the original advice in column, self-help books, and life hacks. Now, some of these fables may even teach different lessons to different people, but the morals that they carry can help you go about your life in a better, more productive manner. Now, that kid that loves storybooks and cartoons is still inside you. Some teach you a thing or two. All right. Now, with that being said, it's time for yet another fable. And this one is titled The Lion, the Donkey, and the Fox Hunting. Now, it is a lesson in the moral is to learn from others' failures. Okay, without any further ado, there was a lion and a donkey and a fox, and they were all hunting together. After they had acquired a great deal of food, the lion asked the donkey to divvy up the spoils. The donkey divided the food into three equal parts and asked the lion to choose what he wanted. The lion then attacked and ate the donkey. After he finished eating, he asked the fox to divvy up the food. Now, the fox gathered all the food into one heap, only kept a little for itself. The lion said to the fox, "Ah, friend, who taught you to make such an equitable division? The fox replied that he needed no other lesson than seeing the donkey faint. Well, the lesson here is look at the mistakes of others and take note. Failure is okay, and it's not important. It's an important part of reaching success that shouldn't be afraid of. But there's nothing wrong avoiding the steps others took took to failure. Also, give a lion all your food if you're in that situation." Right. So I don't know. Yeah, I do. Mr. Harris, first of all, I want to give out our mental health phone number hotline. It's 1-800-662-4357. That's 1-800-662-4357. 1-800-662-HELP. Okay, so now, Mr. Harris, chime in here and make a comment. Help me out.
All right, well, yeah, well, I must say that I've been a victim of not following other people's examples or looking at other people's mistakes and adjusting my behavior with that. But I've grown to learn that that's a very important aspect of being able to have a long life is sometimes you got to learn fire burns by other people telling you or by sticking your hand in the flame. And these things we need to do. We need to figure out which is what.
Okay. Tanisha Gardner, good morning again. What do you think?
Yeah, the stories are good. Yeah, definitely. I guess one of the famous quotes is like, if you expect to do the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, it's insanity. So, yeah, you have to definitely pay attention to what you're doing and what others doing, especially if they already been there, done that, and they already made it, you know, and it's just like taking an example of what you're doing to try to avoid it and learn from it. And sometimes people are hard-headed, and they got to learn on their own, and you just got to pray that God has mercy on you, that you don't get caught up or hurt in the midst of you trying to learn, you know. That's my take on it.
Okay. Well, yeah, don't get hurt trying to learn a lesson that's already been taught, right? Let's get the Black Librarian, Tamir Davis. What do you think about the story? What comments do you have there?
Love the story. You come up with some great stories, and it's great information, great allegorical information to actually help people advance themselves in life. I often tell my son, I walk the path to make it much more smoothly for you. And I got that particular phraseology from an elder brother that mentored me over the years. You know, I walk the path to make it much more smoothly for you, so learn from my mistakes. And mind you, the brother suffered from being incarcerated for decades. And when he came home, he says, I want to be able to pass the baton and make sure you don't get involved with a lot of this stuff out here in the street to curtail you from your goals. I agree that we have to learn from other people's mistakes. I recall thinking about the commercial, you can learn a lot from a dummy in the crashing commercial. So not saying that people's examples make them right or wrong, their mistakes make them dumb, but, you know, just using that as a way of saying that it's important to pay attention, to listen, to hear, to be very discerning so that you won't make any mistakes, or at least mistakes as possible. Thank you.
Okay. So, you know, being the youngest person in the room, I need you to step out for a second and tell us what you think about that, because, you know, not to pick on the youngest person in the room, Walter. Okay, let me get serious, Walter. Right. But many times we find that younger people are being told by their parents or elders not to do a certain thing. And, you know, sometimes young people, you know, figure they can go out and not pay attention to anything and just go. What do you think, Walter?
As what I told you, we're young and the brain is not fully developed until you're 25, what I told you before. So things like that is going to happen. Because we're young and we're curious, we do things that are not the smartest a lot of the time. But, you know, once we get older, it's going to develop and understand that, you know, we just keep on going and we learn from those mistakes and we just make sure we don't make those same mistakes again. I could say.
No, well, that's cool. And, you know, I have to, you know, give you credit for at least being honest, okay, and not trying to, you know, shade it or cover it up, because it is real. We've all been young, Walter, even though you're the youngest one in the room. I keep on harping on that. But we've made the mistakes that we shouldn't have, maybe. And Mr. Harris pointed that out, and he was being honest as well. I have a song titled Busting Out. Let's check it out.
Well, all right, you squares, time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high. Good.
about to do right now is pay tribute to a living legend. So I brought Naturally 7 with me to do the beat. And I brought DCP's own Rudy Current. And me, I go by the name of Ludacris, right? And there's a lot of people out there claiming that they bosses, but I'm here to let you know the true boss is back. Let's go!
Rebirth, rebirth, like you so black and no stress. He's back in the line. The true soul boss is over. Better respect your roots, I hope you're taking notice. Because he's the dude, don't be back in my head.
He keep a flock of PYTs with him.
Yeah.
And they all exotic, erotic, come in groups of threes with him.
Yeah.
Pivot all over the world and I really get it hot when I'm overseas with him.
Hey.
And when we in Bel Air at the castle, I shoot the breeze with him.
Woo.
Publishing checks is coming even when he stay in bed.
Hey.
So we eating at the master table and we breaking bread. New artist steady bossing up, but I tell them why bother.
Nah.
They can't come close to Ludacris and his godfather. That's Quincy Jones, baby.
Hey. He's back on the line. The true soul boss is over. Better respect your roots. I hope you're taking notice. Because he's the true dumb and back in my head.
Now they're looting them, let me through. I'm here to bridge the gap between the old and new. Said I'm a Casanova, Quincy, but put that, and I'ma put that. Same face, me mugging them, hugging the track like, ooh. I'ma make it do what it do, yeah.
He's back on the line. The true soul boss is over. Better respect your roots. I hope you're taking notice. Because he's the dude coming back in my head.
Okay, I was really rocking with that one. But now it's time for our next segment where I turn it back over to Walter. And it's the segment of curtains. You see, and it's an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtain and the stage. You see, many recording artists and companies have grown rich from the support of the community. But what benefits has the community gained from the artists? Curtain is a review of their musical growth and history, the impact of their particular style and genius on the general moods and attitudes of the listening audience. Now, musical and lyrical, social consciousness, CD releases, streaming live nowadays, and no more vinyl. Wait, vinyl's back. Well, anyway, curtain serves best as an introduction to and an exploration of a particular artist, and today his genius and his involvement in influencing all people's style and creativity in the world today. Walter, I'll hand it back to you. Good morning again.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for that intro. But my curtain for today is Akon. And, you know, Akon has done something that is unbelievable in a lot of people, in especially my eyes, but other people's eyes as well. And, you know, Akon raised $1 billion for Africa. You know, he knew that there was, like, a dire need in Africa for basic necessities like portable water and electricity. So his desire for luxury items reduced when he noticed that there was poor development in Africa. So going back in 2015, he launched a mega solar project aimed at providing electricity to some 600 million Africans. And the initiative primarily targets rural communities that are not connected to the electricity and also seeks to find ways to bring more costs down to make power supply more affordable. And, you know, that is just something that I don't think a lot really could believe. You know, a person, especially somebody like Akon, who was already a great R&B, you know, singer, who could have just focused on himself, you know, get all the luxury items he wanted, do whatever he wants with his money. But what he decided to do with his time and money is to, you know, just basically rebuild communities in Africa, give a lot of necessities that were needed in that country, and just do so much for, you know, the motherland, Africa, where we all come from. And, you know, a place that historically was stripped of a lot of its necessities that was in Africa. A lot of its valuables that was in Africa was stripped away, you know, people taken away from there, just the history. And, you know, him noticing that and helping out is just something that is amazing, and we're glad that he has done that. And, you know, I know, Mr. Bay, I know you have a couple things to also say about Akon. As, you know, we talked about Akon previously, and he presented the idea of doing him. So, you know, I'm just curious if you have anything to say on Akon as it pertains to his community work.
Well, I'm going to have to turn it over to Mr. Harris, because I think he can do a better job than me. Good morning, Mr. Harris. Akon.
Good morning.
And his philanthropy and entrepreneurship.
Right, and it's really his futuristic look at our community based on the gap that we had between, you know, bondage and the freedom we had for expressing our ideas and our thoughts in more than just a mental way, but in a physical way. You know, he has this idea in Senegal of starting a place called Akon City. It's kind of like using all of the modern technology that's out here now, and with all the resources that are available on the continent, we understand that there's a lot of things that we can do that we didn't have the freedom to do before. But now he's trying to open up the door with a lot of different ideas to doing a lot of things that we need to just show that, you know, we're not second class or third world or anything. We are truly first world, and we just had a little gap in our run on running the planet. And he's trying to bring that back.
Okay. Let's bring in our Black librarian. Yeah. And I know there are a few things that you admire about Akon. Would you please care to share?
One of the things that I love about Akon is that a lot of people may or may not realize, or a lot of people probably already know, that he actually stems from New Jersey and did a lot of work in our area and within North, and working with artists in this area as well as Jersey City. One of the things that I love about him is his sense of a great music and business acumen. Despite some of the adversities he went through, he still was able to, in life, and everybody goes through adversity, he was still able to develop a record label to actually manage lives of Lady Gaga and many numerous different people, to where he don't necessarily have to make any additional music on his own. He's managing artists whereby they're making their music on his behalf. He created a record label. He worked with some of the greatest artists in the world. And it's just a breath of fresh air and great joy to realize that what he's doing in Africa, helping to build infrastructure there. He's also still aligned with artists and developing artists here in this area as well. So I have so much respect for his business document and his great work.
Okay. Thank you so much for that input. Tanisha Gardner, do you know anything about Akon that you would like to share or comment?
They pretty much mentioned everything. It just makes you think, what can we do here? You know, especially in Newark, you know, with all the great ideas that we have, how can we start, you know, mobilizing and truly making a great impact, you know, within our own city, especially the city of Newark is worth over billions of dollars just because the Prudential is here. So just the network of Newark by itself, why aren't, you know, more entrepreneurs really spewing up that can really be able, compete with these major corporations? And that's something to, you know, something to think about and look into.
Okay. Thank you. And now, without any further ado, Walter, how about some Akon?
just
okay. Let's bring Calvin in. Good morning, Calvin. How are you? Okay. And Mr. Harris, last comment.
Yo, as always, it's a beautiful way to wake up on a Saturday morning.
Okay. And Tanisha, comment, last word.
Self-determination, be grateful, and be thankful.
Okay. Tamir David, last comment, last word.
As I continue to enjoy the show, it has so much enduring value to myself, my life, and others that I, people that I deal with, and just throughout New Jersey and whatever the wave goes through. So it's great. It's
great. Okay. Great show. And Walter, close it out.
Yes, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. Thanks to everybody on this panel today and everybody listening in to today's show. And this is 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. This is your school host, Walter Pierce. And our motto is Quest Youth Radio is
the best youth radio.
This life don't last forever.